Ancient human feces have been found in caves in southern Oregon, and studies of those coprolites suggest that humans may have inhabited the area significantly earlier than previously believed. With me now is University of Oregon archaeologist Dennis L. Jenkins, who along with his students has found and studied the mummified coprolites. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
First, can you tell us more about what coprolites are?
Coprolites are fossilized or desiccated, basically dried, in this case, human feces that has been preserved because the caves are so incredibly dry that the microbes cease to function, and so while they have dried down to a certain level, they stop breaking down after that point.
They didn't rot or decompose. And coprolites can be of any animal?
Yes, and actually, originally they were defined, as I understand it, on the basis of coprolites that had actually been fossilized as dinosaur coprolites, for instance.
Tell us where you found these coprolites.
These were found in south central Oregon, in the northern Great Basin, a very arid region that we were working in the caves trying to investigate whether or not people were there during the Pleistocene or the Ice Age. Luther Cressman, who was an archaeologist from the University of Oregon, had investigated the caves in 1938, 39, and 40. He found camel and extinct horse bones there, and a few obsidian artifacts mixed in among those bones in what was clearly a small space cleared of stones and outlined by boulders. It looked like a small house floor. And around the outside were these extinct animal bones that had been, in his opinion, had been discarded there. So he reported that, and then
it was disputed. Nobody. It was rather controversial, and I guess
yeah.
It went against everything that people knew about the human inhabitants in North America at the time.
Certainly in the desert west, that is the case, and so people have referred to the site as a possibility, but because Luther Cressman never wrote a complete book about his findings, he just reported these small three- or four-page articles. There were comments, you know, to the effect that he should report all of the associations. He never did that, and we returned in 2002 and again in 2003, conducted excavations, found the same thing that he did, and in this case recovered coprolites that were in direct association with camel and horse bones, and recovered human DNA from them that appears to be Native American.
We have photos of the caves as well as a photo of a coprolite posted on us in a slideshow at WNYC.org in case listeners want to see what we're talking about. The whole thing looks rather beautiful. You keep on saying camel. There were camels in Oregon?
Yes, there are actually quite a number of camels. To find their remains out here in the desert is just not that uncommon. Camels and horses both, of course, are desert animals. Why they disappeared at the end of the Pleistocene, I really can't tell you. But the environment was changing rapidly, and it's just possible they could not adapt.
Perhaps they were hunted into extinction the way horses were in the Americas.
Yes, that is certainly a possibility that that maybe with, you know, with these changing environmental conditions and people perhaps were just the straw that broke their back.
Now, what can we learn from coprolites that we can't learn from bones?
Well, establishing the relationship of artifacts to bones is always a very important issue to archaeologists. In this case, if we have the constituents, or in other words, the items that we see under magnification inside the coprolites, then you've established the fact that they're human through DNA and in this case also through protein residue analysis, then you have the direct association. You know, the artifact is a combination of what the person ate plus their own human cells mixed together.
My guest is archaeologist Dennis L. Jenkins, and we're talking about some coprolites that he found in caves in southern Oregon that suggest humans were in the Americas earlier than is generally thought. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, won't the DNA tell you a lot about the origins of the people who excreted these feces?
What we recovered were haplogroups A and B, and those groups are very common in East Asia and even into Siberia. So it seems that our evidence is indeed supporting previous models for people coming to America from the East Asian or Siberian area. Previously, we had, you know, modeled that as being a part of Beringia. In other words, the sea levels dropped during the Ice Age as more water was bound up into ice, and then people could walk across from Siberia to Alaska and Canada.
Well, since this supports the theory that they came across on this land bridge from Siberia to Alaska, why have the findings been controversial?
Well, it's first of all, the actual dating at the Paisley Caves is about 1,000 to 1,300 years before most commonly accepted dates of the Clovis technological complex.
Well, 1,000 years doesn't seem all that much when we're talking about something so far in the past.
Well, that is true, except for it has been really impossible for us to find human remains that have dated back that far to this point. In recent years, we have pretty much begun to accept Monte Verde in South America as being a pre-Clovis site that has been dated at a time very comparable to the Paisley Caves. And so it suggests that, yes, indeed, people were in North America as well as in South America by 12,300 radiocarbon years. I think some of the controversy, I know for a fact, some of the controversy is the fact that we don't have good diagnostic projectile points or spear points to go with the coprolites. And so there was some question, has been questioned as to whether or not these couldn't be, say, dog coprolites that had been contaminated with later human DNA.
Now, hasn't that been cited by some of the doubters that there was some dog DNA mixed in with the human DNA?
Yes, in the Science Magazine article, we clearly stated that we did recover canine DNA from some of our coprolites, and then we presented several different models whereby people could have been eating dogs, which, of course, Native Americans did quite frequently. Dogs could have eaten human excrement, which they do quite frequently, or the dogs could have urinated on the excrement, human excrement, after they had abandoned the caves. So there are a variety of possibilities. In this case, we have three independent forms of data indicating that these are human. One, we have the DNA. Two, we have protein residue analysis, such as you see quite frequently in CSI on TV. And then the third, we did an actual reconstitution where in trisodium phosphate, where you disaggregate the constituents of the coprolite and go through, and you can reconstruct what the person had eaten.
And what did you find they had eaten? Weren't there remnants of feathers, chewed feather stem in the coprolite?
Yes, we
were people eating feathers.
Well, what they're doing is preparing their food on the floor of the caves, and if you can kind of imagine this very dusty occasionally windy environment with people preparing food on mats, it's easy to see how small feathers would get included, as well as dust and little bones and things. They ate them. They prepared them. Their water was at a distance from the cave, so washing their hands as much as we do just wasn't feasible. We recovered hair, for instance, from some of the coprolites. There were human hairs found in two of the coprolites that also gave us protein residue analysis indicating they were human.
And do we find that they have eaten things that are typical to modern diets?
Certainly did. One of the very exciting things to me as an archaeologist from the Northwest was to find that one of the coprolites dated at over 12,000 radiocarbon years had 9,000 Apiaceae pollen per cc, and that is basically the family of plants that are edible, have edible roots, and this certainly suggests that those people were consuming and knew how to dig up those plants and what time of the year they would have been edible. So that indicates, they were well adapted to their environment, not just passing through.
Do we know when the land bridge was formed between Siberia and Alaska? Because hasn't some of the controversy over dating these things had to do with the fact that we thought it was impossible for people to get here before a certain time?
Yes, that has been some of the reasoning for Clovis being first in the past, this Clovis complex. It was believed that the passage, the ice, the inland ice-free passage was not open until approximately 11,500 years ago, radiocarbon. So if this data holds, then it indicates either our previous reconstructions of when the ice opened up to allow people south into the lower 48 here in the United States has been wrong. In other words, there was excess, or it seems to be pointing and providing more support perhaps for people coming along the coast by either boat or ice-free corridor along the coast.
Now, these people could have brought the camels with them, couldn't they? Or do you think that these camels, because I'm really fascinated by these camels, do you think that they're related to the llamas of South America?
Well, they certainly are all camelids and related very distantly that way. There was no domestication at this time. It is much more likely that people were eating the horses and eating camelids. Ultimately, those animals ended up apparently crossing the land bridge and going back to Siberia.
That's
Asia.
What the horses did, and I guess the camels did it as well.
And the ones that didn't died out. Mm-hmm. So, land bridge question is a very interesting, and we're building data that will help us to understand this whole colonization process much better.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us today. I've been speaking with University of Oregon archaeologist Dennis L. Jenkins.